You know, there are many topics in God's Word that, for one reason or another, it seems as if we do not study or we do not emphasize them perhaps as much as we ought to. And it may be that you've studied recently about fasting. Where I live, there's not a whole lot that's ever been preached or said about fasting. I guess if you look at me, you can tell that. But another item that I want to mention to you today, here back in June, our local preacher was out of town and he asked me to fill in for him. And so as I was thinking about what to speak on, I came across this passage of scripture in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter in verse 8. We had just finished a study that we were doing with a group of individuals on Zoom on Sunday morning from the book of Philippians. And this passage was fresh on my mind. And so I said, I'm going to present a lesson on meditation. Christian meditation. Again, in Philippians 4 and verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so here we have a commandment from the Apostle Paul that we are to spend time meditating. And not only are we to spend time meditating, but he tells us the things that we're to be meditating upon, as we see here in this verse. The practice of meditation by Christians is not something that you hear frequently discussed, but I believe it is something truly that we need to talk about. And the truth is, there are many individuals who are part of the body of Christ that are not really aware of or the teaching that we have in God's Word concerning meditating. Now, I may be moving a little slow this morning, and it's not because I'm an older man. I am an older man, but I fell this past Wednesday and fractured a rib. And so if I'm preaching and you see me stop and catch my breath, you'll know why. Because I move a certain way, and it's just like somebody sticking a knife in me. And I never had so many wires and things on me since my last surgery. And so we're dealing with a lot this morning. You know, it may be that some of you believe that meditation solely belongs to the Eastern religion like Hinduism or Buddhism. What would you do this morning if I got up? I said, all right, everybody raise your hands up and everybody close your eyes and let's meditate. I would open my eyes, and probably the auditorium would be empty. Or maybe one of the elders would be coming down here and grabbing me and saying, it's time for you to leave. That's not the type of meditation that we're thinking about, but when we think about meditation, normally that's what comes to our mind. The Apostle Paul clearly teaches us that there are certain things that as God's people that we're to be meditating upon. And so it is certainly a biblical subject that we need to look at. Over in the book of Genesis, and in Genesis, the 24th chapter, and as we look down in verse 62. Now Isaac had returned from Beer-lah-rah and was dwelling in Negev. And Isaac went out to meet him in the field towards evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she had saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field towards us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah his mother and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and so Isaac was confronted or was comforted after his mother's death. We see that Isaac was out in the field, and he was spending time meditating. And here he sees these group of camels coming, and he goes and inquires, and ultimately finds out that it is his wife. We see in the book of Joshua, the first chapter and verse 8, where Joshua was charged by God to meditate both day and night. And when we look over into the book of Psalms, and Psalms, the very first chapter, the psalmist says, beginning in verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." David was a man that was after God's own heart. And here, as David writes, he says that we are to spend time meditating on God's word day and night. And blessed is the man, happy is the man that so does. Paul commanded Timothy that he was to meditate upon all things as well. Now, when we think about meditating, there are certain questions that come to our mind. What does meditation mean to one who is a Christian? Why should we be concerned about making time to meditate? And how should we meditate? Hopefully, these are three questions that we want to answer before we leave today. And Bill hasn't put any pressure on me at all. He said, "Jim, I called and made reservations for us to eat at 11:30. So thank you, Bill. I need to be motivated. But meditation, it is in the Bible. Now, many Eastern religions practice meditation. But as we mentioned, it's not the meditation that we see and that we read of in God's Word. When they are meditating, their object is to experience truth. They're meditating to have a vision. They're meditating to receive a teaching, a word, if you would, from God. They're wanting to experience some particular thing. They're wanting to receive a revelation from God. And that's the reason that they spend time meditating. But when we look into God's Word, we see that is not the type of meditation that we as God's people are commanded that we are to do. We are individuals that when we meditate, as we see in the book of Psalm 63 and verse 6, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." We are individuals who are to do as the man after God's own heart. We are to spend time meditating on the Lord Himself. We are to spend time in meditating and thinking about all the wonderful things that He has done for you and for me. We are to meditate upon His works. In Psalm 77 and verse 12, "I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." And we will meditate upon His revealed will. In the book of Psalms 119 and verse 15, the scripture says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." Down in verse 18, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." And then as we skip on down and we come to verse 48, "I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, and I love and I will meditate upon your statutes." And so we see here the psalmist writing and talking about time that we need to be spending on meditating upon God's Word. Now the question for you and me this morning is this: How much time are we spending meditating? How much time are we spending on thinking about our Lord? How much time are we spending and thinking about His wonderful works, this world that we live in, all of His creation? How much time are we spending in meditating upon His revealed will that He has given to us? Paul says we are to meditate on certain things. We are to meditate upon things that are true and things that are noble and things that are just and pure and lovely and of good report and of virtue and things that are praiseworthy. Is there anything that's more true and more noble than the creation of this world by our Lord and by our Savior? Is there anything that's more lovely to read of how He gave Himself upon that cross for you and for me, that we might have our sins forgiven, that we might be His children? Is it anything that's more worthy of giving praise to what He has done for you and for me? The purpose of such meditation is that we may be nourished with our understanding of God and His will that He has revealed to you and to me. You see, when the Christian meditates, he's not meditating to seek from some or to be given some revelation. That's not the purpose. That's not why we are to meditate. We meditate that we may gain spiritual strength. We meditate that we may gain spiritual joy, that we may gain spiritual nourishment. We're not meditating to receive a revelation from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We have the Word of God. We're not receiving any new day revelations. And so we don't meditate hoping that we're going to receive a new revelation from God. We are to spend our time on we are to spend our time on that which has been revealed through the revelation of God's holy word, that we can draw strength. As Paul said when he wrote to the church at Philippi, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And so, may we spend time meditating upon the word that has been given to us by God. Again, in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 3, he, talking about the man that is blessed, the man that is happy, he said he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruits in seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Why is he prospering? Because he is one who is meditating upon God's word. He is one who has been, who's being strengthened, who's receiving joy, who's receiving the nourishment to live and to serve and to be what God would have all of us to be. There is a real difference between biblical meditation and that is commonly practiced by many religions. Christians meditate for a specific reason and purpose. It's not to receive a revelation. We meditate upon our Savior, upon our Lord, upon His works. We meditate upon God's Word that we can draw strength, that we can draw joy, that we can receive nourishment, that we can serve Him in a way that is pleasing and acceptable in His holy sight. We're not meditating to receive some new truth that has not been revealed yet. And so this is the understanding, or the difference rather, between the meditation of those in the Eastern religions and what the Bible teaches about you and me meditating. Meditating, not to receive a new revelation, but meditating on that which has been revealed and has been made known to you and me that we will enjoy spiritual strength and that we truly will be nourished. Why should we meditate? Well, because it is a source of great joy and great strength. When we look here at the psalmist, he's already mentioned that in Psalms 1 and 1 through 2. This alone should motivate you and me to meditate more often as those who are God's people. Secondly, it is an important part of our transformation. As we are transformed, I have a lesson I teach from Romans 12 and verse 2, 1 and 2. I call it my butterfly sermon. A transformation, starting out with a cocoon and then turning into a caterpillar and ultimately into a beautiful butterfly. Brethren in Africa, they love that lesson because they can relate to it so much. We're lost. We're dying in our sins. We obey the gospel. There is to be a transformation that takes place. And Paul, as he writes to the church in Rome, he makes this statement in Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many nations. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to notice that this transformation, that it is possible by only the renewing of our mind. And this renewing is possible only when we set our minds, when we spend time meditating on proper things. And that is on things that are above, not on things on this earth. Paul said in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. Only when our minds are set on things above will we be individuals who are successfully completing this transformation, which includes putting off the old man and putting on the new man. How's your transformation doing? Are you spending time meditating on God's word to assist you in this transformation? You know, even individuals who live in this world, they fully understand that if we're going to live and we're going to be spiritually minded, that we cannot live and dwell on things that are carnal. We cannot mind the things of the flesh, which lead to death and enmity with Almighty God. If we're going to live and to be the child that we need to be, we have to spend time meditating on our Savior, on His works, on His life, on His sacrifice, and the Word that our Father has revealed and made known unto us. There was a study that took place at Stanford University, and I want to just read a few things from this report. Begins by saying, what we watch does have an effect on our imaginations, our learning patterns, and our behaviors. And our study reveals three things. First of all, when we are exposed to new things, it creates new behaviors and characters. We learn or acquire these new behaviors as we view and as we listen to them. And the last and most critical step is that we adopt these behaviors as our own. Because one of the most critical aspects of human development that we need to understand is the influence of repeated viewing and repeated verbalizing in shaping our future. What do you think we have contained in God's Word? The command to read and to study and to meditate upon God's Word. Because it is creating. It's aiding in this transformation that is to take place in your life and my life. The study goes on to say, the information that individuals receive, it goes in harmlessly, almost unnoticed on a daily basis, but we don't react to it until later, when we aren't able to realize the basics for our reactions. In other words, our value system is being formed without any conscious awareness on our part or what is happening. You are what you watch and think, it says. The report says if a 60-second commercial by repeated viewing can sell us a product, then isn't it possible for a 60-minute TV show or smutcom by repeated viewing to sell us, to create within you and me a different lifestyle? And the answer is absolutely. And so if you and I as Christians are going to succeed, we must set our mind on things that are above. That is, we have got to spend time meditating on the things that are above, on the things of the Spirit, where Jesus Christ is. And only then, and with God's help, can we put off this old man and put on the new man. And so I hope and pray that we are spending time in reading and studying and meditating upon God's Word. It will assist, it will help you and me in this transformation that takes place in our lives. How do we meditate? Well, the first step is to determine and decide that we are going to spend time meditating, and that we're going to be selective in the things that we meditate upon. That we're going to be seeking to renew our mind. We're going to be seeking this transformation that takes place in our life. And in doing so, that is, in meditating on these things and renewing our mind and helping us in being transformed, it doesn't necessarily have to be restricted to the Bible per se. Because remember, Paul said, whatever things here in Philippians. There are novels, there are movies, there are television shows that fall into the category of possessing virtue and being praiseworthy. I don't always agree with some of the things that I happen to see in this series that ran recently on the life of Jesus. I thoroughly enjoyed the message that it was presenting. And so, reading novels and reading books that are dealing with spiritual ideals and spiritual thoughts can help you and me in growing, and maturing, and helping this transformation take place in our life. And it may be that we simply need also to seek the advice and counsel of other Christians as to what is of good report. Talking with the elders here and asking their advice and asking their thought. Talking with your preacher and asking what his thoughts are. What are things that you can do that truly are praiseworthy that will help you in this transformation? To reach the heights of spiritual meditation, we need to hear or to heed the counsel of God's Word. And especially the writing that we see in many of the passages in the book of Psalms. Make the Bible your primary the focus of meditation. Read it every day, contemplating on what is being said. Every morning when I do my scripture reading, I was telling Bill, on the Bible program I have, I put in the scriptures that I'm going to be reading, and I click on play, and it plays it. And I sit and I read along with it. And I have found that by having somebody read it, and then me reading it as he's reading it, that it helps me. And I have a marker. And if I come across something that sort of sends off a little light, something I'd like to know more about, I highlight it with my marker. And then later I go back and I look at it and I think about it a little more. And so we need to heed the counsel that we see in God's Word. Focus on God's Word. Read it every day. Contemplate on what it's saying and read it with a prayer in your heart. And as you read it occasionally, do it out loud to yourself. That seems to help me. We have a mentor program at Northeast. And the young man that I'm working with this quarter, we're going to be using our young men. I believe he's 15. He's going to give an invitation. And I met with him this Saturday, and we spent some time working up an outline on the lesson that he's going to be presenting in July. He's got several months to prepare. And he's entitled his lesson, A Cafeteria Life. That's what many people are living. They want to pick and choose the things they do. A cafeteria religion. Just pick and choose the things that pleases you, that makes you happy in your worshiping and serving of God. But we have got to be individuals that do not practice a cafeteria religion. That we want to listen to the whole counsel of God. And we want to focus on it. We want to meditate upon it, that it will help us in the transformation that is to take place in your life and my life. And as we read, reason along the line is there's some truth here that I should know from this verse. How does the passage affect a previous held conviction that I had? Is there something I should stop doing in light of this verse? Or is there something that I need to start doing? To put it another way, we need to hold fast the Word of God in our heart until it has affected every phase of your life and my life. And that, in a summation, is what meditation is. In Psalms 19, in verse 14, we find David praying. And he says, let the words of mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are the words of our heart, are the meditation of our heart acceptable unto our Lord? And then Paul commands us, in our text in Philippians, to meditate on these things. This is the means by which you and I can assure that our meditation is being acceptable in the sight of our Lord. If you're not a Christian and you're here with us this morning, or if you're an erring Christian, then there's some things in particular upon which you ought to be meditating. What is your standing in God's sight? What would happen if Jesus Christ would return today? What would happen if you were to die today? What do I need to do to be found in the grace of God? And then ask yourself, why am I delaying? Why am I putting it off? And then those of us who are God's children, perhaps we need to be asking ourselves, am I truly meditating upon God's Word each and every day? Is my transformation taking place as it needs to be? Am I growing? Am I developing into that child that God would have me to be? Am I growing in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ? Each and every day, am I becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? And when I'm living in the world, when individuals look at me, do they see Christ living in me? And through the life that we're living, whether it be at work or at play, is God being glorified? Because I am spending time in meditating upon His Word and seeing that this transformation that must take place is taking place, and that I can ultimately be one day that beautiful butterfly. So as one who is an erring child of God, or one who's not a Christian, I hope you're meditating right now on what you need to do to become a Christian and why you're delaying. And as one who is a Christian, I hope that you're meditating, that you're thinking about the transformation of my life. Is it taking place as it needs to? Am I gaining that joy and that strength that God would have me to have, that this transformation can be complete, that heaven may be my home? Think about these things. The lesson is yours. If you're here today, you're subject to an invitation. We now extend the Lord's invitation to you. Won't you please come as we stand and as we sing, please.